from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everyone. My name is Alon, and beside me we have...
Aura.
Aura, the wonderful game designer extraordinaire. I myself, not actually in the biz, I just pretend. I'd be cut in for extreme weather advisories because it's a madhouse outside here in Phoenix. AZ.
It always rains on Mondays for some reason.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
That's good, though, because then it cools us down for the rest of the week.
For, like, half a day, maybe.
Well, I mean, sometimes... A couple weeks ago, we had, like, 2 days of not horrible heat, just humidity.
Yeah, that was true, but then, like, I'm listening to the radio today, and they're like, oh, yeah, tomorrow? Oh, yeah, the high's 104. Never mind the rain.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Now, I had an experience on the way to the radio station today.
Is that so?
Yes, I did. I hinted at this to you, but I wanted to make it a surprise, because I thought you'd get a big kick out of this. For those who aren't aware, Ara, he really likes his car. He really likes driving. In fact, he was really, really upset that he had, like, little tiny water spots on his car that he couldn't get out. Like, it was breaking his mind.
And so I remain upset about this.
Just last week. Are they still in your car?
You know what? Those have disappeared, but only to reveal different and other drops of rain in other places.
And you know this because you probably marked each one of them with a mental map, like stars in the sky, like which drop is which.
It's fused into my brain,
yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, so Ara loves his car, and, you know, there's a good reason because he has a really nice car. I, on the other hand, recognize I live in Phoenix, like the stolen car capital of the universe, and should not have a nice car because it's going to get dented, smashed, and destroyed. So on my way...
That makes me feel good, too,
by the way. On my way here, there's construction outside of my house, as always. There's always construction outside of my house. So I'm driving up the street, and I've got someone following me because I had a friend at my house before I went to the station. Said, all right, it's time for me to go. You can follow me out because it's a confusing neighborhood. So I'm driving out. She's right on my tail. And there's this construction, which is supposed to lead me like into the opposing lane while the opposing lane is shifted even further over, like into dirt. Now, I do this every day, but it's nighttime. It's been raining. And the very first cone, or not cone, it's like one of those plastic triangular things with the light on top, that was knocked down. And so I didn't move over left enough. And oh, I'm running over one. Oh, wait, I'm running over a second one. Oh, slamming on the brakes, running over a third. So, like,
that's exciting.
This friend following me, and I'm like, it's like a video game. It really is. It's like when you run off the side of the road, right? And you're like, oh, crap, oops, let me just get back, right? Do-do-do-do-do, nothing happened. I'm just going to get back on the road and keep going. So, like, I stopped for a second thinking, should I do something? Am I responsible for, like, putting cones back up even though they weren't in the right place to begin with? I don't know, screw it, let's get back on the road.
Right on.
And so, like, probably other people then got hurt afterwards because they didn't see the cones, because, like, the first one was knocked down for me. I then went and knocked down, like, three more. And I figured, well, my car's still running. Last time I ran over something, it was a rock, and I blew out my entire wheel. That stopped me immediately. This did not stop me, but then, honestly, like, 15 minutes later, maybe 10 minutes later, in the car, that's when I noticed my rear view mirror or my side view mirror is busted.
Wow. So you didn't even know when it happened exactly?
No, I mean, I knew when it was happening. It was very clear. Like, I slammed on the brakes.
Didn't realize what it was.
But the side view mirror, I didn't notice was broken because I didn't look into it until, you know, I was on the highway and I was like, why am I not seeing what I normally see in the mirror? It's like shifted. And then I realized, oh, it's not only shifted, it's broken into like 20 little pieces.
Ouch.
That are all still together, you know, but cracked and like totally shifted to the left. So anyway, totally like a video game, running off the side of the road. Oh, let's just get back on. Let's not worry about it. It's just whatever. Because I don't care about my car. You, on the other hand, would have stopped off, side of the road, would have taken, like...
Well, let's not be hasty.
You would have taken control and been like, all right, I have this scratch right here. This scratch was not here before. What about this one? This is an extra water spot. I have a piece of plastic over here. And now, me, I'm just like, oh, it doesn't matter. I can just reset, you know, when I get home. Not a scratch on my car. Well, there's a couple scratches, not ones that I care about. But the rear view mirror, the side view mirror, right? How would the side view mirror get hurt?
That makes no sense to me. I mean, it's facing, like, not in front of your car, but behind your car.
Yeah, there's a scrape on the front side of it. So I imagine what happened is it got hit or jostled, and that just caused the whole thing to shatter. on the other side of the rearview mirror holster thing.
That's bizarre. Or maybe someone was shooting a BB gun at you from behind.
I don't know. But it was crazy. And anyway, so that was my trip today. I've run over a pylon once before, like right at one of those pay booths
on
the highway, because I just didn't notice it.
That's awesome.
My night vision is not great. But this one, like, I slammed into, like, three plastic triangle dealies, like, tall ones, like, above the hood, too. You should totally notice them. Me? Anyway.
How did that feel, though, just smashing? Because that's what I always wanted to do.
I wouldn't have cared, but, like, I had my friend right behind me watching me do this, and then I called her a minute later. I'm like, so, yeah, sorry about that. My night vision's not good, and you're following me, and I'm sorry. I hope everything's cool. And she's like, no, I was just talking to, like, our other friend. She was just talking to our other friend. And I was like, Alon totally just ran over, like, three things. So that was my exciting evening. I guess we should move on and talk about games a little bit. It was video game related, though. It was very much like playing a racing game when you don't care that you hit stuff.
Right. And speaking of racing games, you know, I was looking at an Xbox game box the other day, and I never really looked at one carefully before, right?
Which surprised me, by the way, because what you're about to talk about is something I've seen a million times.
Right. So maybe this is, like, old news, but I just thought it was really funny, right? So, like, on the back of these Xbox boxes, you know, they have, like, this matrix of, like, you know, I guess, like, features or whatever, right? Like, players.
We're talking about the part where it tells you how many players can play, whether or not it's online, is it voice capable, that little section.
Yeah. And I'm, like, looking at this, and I'm like, wow, this is the most retarded thing I've ever seen. Like, first of all, you know, there's, like, half of them are, like, you know, lit up, and half of them are dimmed, even though, like, this is paper and not a computer screen. And then, then they put, like, X's next to the ones that are lit up. But then, like, you're like, oh, it's an X. Well, I wonder what that means. I mean, they can't, like, use a check mark or anything because it's Xbox, right? So
yeah.
I guess they have to use an X, even though an X, like, means, like, no. You know, so they have to write under it, oh, X means features supported by this game. You know?
It is a little bit redundant there.
Yeah, so, and then, like, well, I mean, it's just, like, confusing. I'm like, okay, we know it's Xbox. You don't have to put X's everywhere. And then, like, the other thing is, like, okay, well, like, the features that they don't have, like, I guess this game, like, it doesn't have, you know, memory unit, whatever, custom soundtracks. Okay, that's fine. It also doesn't have other. And, again, it also doesn't have other. So that's really
other
exciting.
Is not an included feature.
Right. Twice.
What bothers me is that I've seen these things, and they're often wrong. And you go on the internet, and you're like, well, the box says you can do this, but you really can't. Like, often that's the case with online support, or the number of players, I think, is the most confused issue, where they say this is 1 to 4 players, and it's not, or it's 1 to 2 players, but it really is 4 players, something like that. And this is an example of, I always tell people, like, I try to impart knowledge onto the younger people that I come across in my life. And so, like, I think someone in their high school years to early college years needs to get it into their head that the rest of the world, like, you imagine large companies having their stuff together, having teams of people who do the work and do the research and make sure everything's together. And stuff like this, errors and silliness, like 2 repetitions of other on the back of an Xbox game,
I mean,
unsupported,
like,
features called other.
Did you have to actually, like, have those last 2 spaces so you could have a nice rectangle? I mean, like, is that really important?
Apparently it is. My lesson, though, is that laziness and lack of quality control persists throughout the entire universe, no matter how organized your supposedly large company is. Now, this, granted, you're looking at a Codemasters box, and we're pretending that there's 2 other spots because you've seen it, and there's only 1 other spot on it, but...
Oh, you ruined the whole thing.
I know. Well, I can't... I don't want to mention Codemasters and then say that they screwed this up.
Okay, but there was other twice on another game, I swear.
Yeah. So anyway, my point is laziness and a lack of quality control persist. They are everywhere. And so, like, imagine you have the job of the guy who checks that stuff. You know you screw up. You're a lazy bum.
Maybe they don't have that job.
And I'm not speaking of you are. I'm speaking to the audience. That's probably the truth. Like, no one has that job specifically. So it's like whoever is in charge of quality control in the back of the box, he doesn't care about that. Oh, they'll change that. Someone else will take care of that. And you work as part of a machine, right? You see different departments, right? And so you can see breakdown. Not that Rainbow or THQ ever has any sort of breakdowns in communications or anything, but hypothetically speaking, a system of that large a machine is going to have that sort of breakdown where someone always thinks someone else is going to do the job, and then at the last minute you're like, oh, that went to print already. Sorry. Like, and it's too late.
Right. Well, yes. Well, hypothetically speaking, you know, when there's a lot of different things to coordinate, there's always issues to deal with.
I mean, there's whole bits of software that you have to look at every day, right, to say, like, how close you are to your benchmark and whatever.
Yeah, but let's get back to this box thing for a second.
Okay.
I mean, the real reason why I'm complaining about this is that, like, I mean, it looks like they just took all this effort, this extra effort and trouble to, like, just obfuscate what the features of the game are. I mean, just why don't you just list the thing?
Well, the funny thing there is that it's a grid of, like, 12 items, right? And I think only three of them are selected.
This is true, yes. There's it's telling me, and also, like, you know, for marketing purposes, like, why would you want to tell the person, you know, nine things that, like, the game doesn't do on the back of the box?
Mystery? I don't know.
I mean, here's the reasons why you shouldn't buy this game.
Yeah, because it doesn't do online support.
It doesn't do any of these things.
Yeah. That I think is very interesting. All right, we're going to be back with some more discussion of actual games. No talk about me and my driving, which is notoriously bad this evening. I also ran headstrong into a giant puddle today. Around Phoenix, giant puddles are a big deal. All right, we're going to be back after these messages, folks.
KFNX 1100 Phoenix.
Welcome, everyone. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. I am your host, Ara, and your other host.
This is Smooth Listening, Alon, in the house.
Now I'm jealous already because, you know, I don't have a nickname like that.
What?
Smooth Listening.
Smooth Listening Alon. Well, yeah. I come up with a new one every week.
All right.
Smooth Listening Alon. It should be Smooth Talking Alon.
You are a smooth talker. I'll give you that.
I try. You know where I learned how to smooth talk was at UAT, at the University of Advancing Technology.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Because you have to be quiet. There's not a lot of sociability, right? There's a lot of video game nerds, and which is great. That's my style. So you learn to, like, limit your speech to other people. So whatever you do say has to be very valuable.
You know what else is very valuable?
Yeah, what?
That's people who want to call into the show, callers.
Phone numbers.
Yeah.
866-536.
1100.
1100. That's correct. Actually, you know, you like I say, you learn to be quiet and smooth. You don't say anything. You got a girl sitting next to you. Oh my God, a girl. Wow. What is she doing here? Oh my God, a girl. Wow. So nice shoes. Want to do it? Yeah. See, short and sweet.
Right.
Get the message across.
This is what you learn at what's that called?
UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology. Actually, you know, I make fun. It's a fun school. And I was talking to you about it. Was it last week? I was telling you about all the TVs they just installed there.
Yeah, you said something
last
about
week. I'm so jealous now. I'm so mad. I think I want to go there just to hang out. Like, on my way towards Tempe, it's right there. It's right over the border of Phoenix and Tempe. So when I drive by, sometimes I'll stop in to say hi to friends or whatever and end up staying there for longer because I've got all the, you know. I mean, I can be on the internet anywhere, but might as well sit down next to my friends, be on the internet, and then go play on some plasmas.
So students have even more of a reason not to,
more
do,
of a reason
their
not to do
work.
Yeah, I mean, they've got whole clusters of the machines that you work on that are just, like, the game development machines. And so all the games are installed on them. So if you're in a game dev class, you really just end up playing Warcraft 3 or something. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about some more serious stuff. There was something earlier this week that you brought to my attention, but so, I mean, I had seen it as well. It's sort of a big topic on people's minds, but it went away real fast. So I'm not sure if it's hitting people or if maybe it's not bothering them or what.
Right.
But this is like the Xbox 360. They want to go online and they want to have us buy stuff. This has been from day one. And I made fun of it on this show when Jay Allard a couple years ago was talking about ringtone like business models.
Microtransactions.
Exactly. And
I wonder how that's doing.
Well, I'll tell you what. I just got a new phone. I just got a BlackBerry this past week. And I was looking on the T-Mobile website, and I noticed I could listen to all of their ringtones that they sell me for like $1.49 or $1.99 for each one. Now,
before you buy, you mean, or
I
pay
yeah,
you
just listen to it online, and then if you want it, you go onto the website with your phone through the little T-Zones thing,
yeah.
And then you download the ringtone. It's part of your phone. Now, my BlackBerry, I can download any MP3 on the internet that's, you know, a mono ringtone and play it on there. So, in theory, if I were that kind of finagling gentleman, and I have enough ringtones on my phone already, I don't need more than the classic phone ring. But if I wanted to, I could just record the sound on my computer right from the T-Zone's website. And, oh, look, there you go, MP3. So, It seems there are some ways to get around microtransactions.
This is like the the trick that websites use so that you can't steal their pictures, but then you just do like
a screen cap,
all print screen, and then you have it.
Like. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, moving right along here. Yeah, their microtransaction system. But here's where it gets. You know, I'm going to let you take this because you have, I think, more knowledge on this subject than I do.
All right. Well, one thing that I thought was kind of interesting was that they made a big deal about this. You know, they had a press release last week, and they basically said like, okay, you know what? We're going to have you buy consumables on Xbox 360. And what that means is that basically, like, resources in the game that are quote-unquote consumables, like, I don't know, money or items that kind of, like, pretty much anything that, you know, you can eventually, with enough game time, just, you know, regenerate indefinitely. You know, you can now buy these with cash.
In theory. But it doesn't even have to be that way. Like, when you go to the arcade, you remember how you'd pump quarters into the machine?
Right.
They call it Xbox Live Arcade, right? So what if you could download the game for free, the full game, the whole thing, and then you pay for your lives? And then, another quarter.
Now that's interesting. But the problem that I have... Well, the funny thing, first of all, is that, like, you know, this isn't... I mean, this is, like, slightly different from what they said they were going to do before, which they're already doing, which is, like, okay, you can buy items in the game that are not consumables... that, you know, you can just buy them with your money, with your, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, that pissed me off from the get-go. And that stupid horse armor thing was the example that everybody finally got up in arms about, which I was complaining about this from the get-go. Didn't want to deal with this microtransaction crap, because I...
Well, what's your complaint?
My complaint is this, that back in the day, in the heyday of gaming, when we would actually buy a game and that would be it, the company that wants to make the game, they have a desire to make a good game. A robust game, a complete game, right? Now we have Xbox, and like, no, you're not going to download patches over Xbox Live. That's not what it's going to be used for. It's just going to be used for new content and for connecting people, right? New content already means now if the company decides to hold off on one of their really good maps because they want to sell it to you later, you have a less complete game than you would have had this option not been available. Now, I also think it means, great, you can download a bunch of new maps. Halo 2 is a great example, plus all the other games where you can download new maps on.
Right.
But it detracts from the game when you want to just buy the one game. And so that's a little upsetting to me because I really just want to buy the game once. But I understand and I submit to it. In the case where you can buy it on DVD, like the Halo maps you could actually buy and have them so that 20 years from now when I find some in Xbox in the garage sale, I can still have it. Right? I don't like Xbox Live Arcade. I don't like a game which is going to disappear because it's just data. But
that's a good point, too.
Yeah, I've brought that up several times, and most people can get past that. But then, buying stuff in the game, I just hate, because it means that the game is less complete because the developers are intentionally leaving stuff out. And they say, oh, that won't happen. But they also said, oh, we won't be downloading patches over Xbox Live. And of course we are.
Now, this is really interesting, because actually my complaint is completely different from yours.
Okay, go for it.
I think that, you know... Basically, what this amounts to doing, whether you're buying something with money that's a consumable or not a consumable, is that you're introducing like an external interaction into the game. I mean, the game, you know, the game is like a complete closed system, and now you're introducing this external thing that you can influence, and that's just bad game design to me.
No, you're exactly right. Like, what if you're What if part of the game they say, oh, well, I can't get past this? Well, you know...
Yeah, just buy your way through.
Yeah, but I mean, that could be to get it. Or they might make it an integral part of the game where you have to buy this piece in order to have this side quest or something to get it. Or they might make it an integral part of the game where you have to buy this piece in order to have this side quest or something. Meanwhile, there's the 10-year-old kid who got the game for Christmas, doesn't have an access to a credit card, or his mom just says, no, I bought you the game, I'm not going to get you all this extra stuff. And he misses out on part of this game, or misses out on the ability to be successful, or whatever it is, right, that he's missing out on, because he just got the game for Christmas, right?
Right.
And that's all he's going to get. He's not going to get the extra $5 bonus piece or whatever. And the fact that it's consumable is just even more ridiculous because it means you paid for something you no longer get to keep. And it's like, I understand with food and like hookers, that's the way it is. But when you're playing a video game, you should have it. You should be able to have it and show it to your grandkids. And that consumable horse armor, which was not actually consumable, that's a bad example, but you know, whatever it is they decide to make that's consumable is going to be so irritating to me, and on principle alone, I will never, ever, ever buy one.
All right, I have some little bit more to say about this when we come back.
Luckily, we've got half a show left. We'll be back, everybody. Call in at 866-536-1100.
You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
Good evening, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio back in the his house. My name's Alon.
My name's Ara.
What is my nickname this segment?
Let's see.
Wild talking. Smack talking.
Yeah, I was going to say feisty, but yeah, smack talking. Right on. Talkin'. That's it.
All right, so Andrew, of course, running the boards in the back here with the old wonderful sound effects. Now, you said you had a little bit more to spit out regarding this consumable issue.
All right, check this out. This is the reason why it's bad to be able to buy something in a game with cash. Let's say you have an item in the game, right? Like, I don't even know. Call it whatever you want. Like, let's say it's like the magical bracelet or whatever, right?
Okay.
So in a game normally, you know, there's meaning behind this item. In other words, you have to do something in the game before you can get it, right?
It's a reward of some sort.
It's a reward. In other words, you can look at it as a representation of something you've accomplished. Now, by being able to purchase said item with money, you circumvent everything you had to do in game terms to get it.
Well, that's assuming that it's the ability to buy these things is simple. Now, what if you spend a lot of in-game time collecting money in order to in a traditional game, right? You collect rupees or something until you get the 250 rupees or however much it costs to get the purple ring in Zelda, right? You spent all this time, all this effort collecting the money, you go buy it. What if you had to perform some certain tasks before you could even get to the shop where you then have to pay real money to get it instead of the fake money that you may have collected in the game.
Okay. Well, that's pretty lame too, because it's like, okay, you know what? Like there's a challenge I had to surmount in the game in order to get this item. And then now you're telling me, pay this real money. I mean, what is this? A toll booth? Come on.
No, I'm with you. Not really for the same reason. I think bringing in the real world is counterintuitive to the gaming experience, because the whole point of gaming is to submerge yourself in something else.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting too is that I think that the better designed games on 360 in general, what they've done, because they realize that there's just no good way to actually integrate this so heavily into the game, is that they've made all of the items that you can buy online that are in the game, all the stuff you can buy with real money, they've made them kind of like tangential or inconsequential to the actual game experience as defined by, you know, what challenges you have to surmount and what experiences you have to have in order to get from point A to point B.
What are you talking about? Like extra missions?
Like, for example,
or cars in Project Gotham 3?
Like cars in Project Gotham 3. That's one thing that's interesting, right? I mean, you can, I think they released a couple car packs, right? But really, I mean, the funny thing is that game, like, the structure as far as, like, earning cars is so flat that you can just pretty much get the best car in the game after a few hours of play anyway.
Okay.
Right? So, in that case, I think that it's, like, I don't know if they did that because of this reason or because it sounds to me like they just did it because they wanted everyone to get to try every car. So, like, whatever challenge that was involved, whatever meaning was involved in actually earning the cars has just kind of been flattened because it's so easy to just, you know, save up a little bit of money, because the most expensive car in the game is really not that expensive. I mean, the best car in the game is not that expensive.
I am not familiar enough with the game to know.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
So there's, like, no reason to drive any of the other cars except for the couple fastest cars, except for, you know, oh, I want to see what this car feels like.
But this consumable issue, it bothers me because, well, for a whole multitude of reasons. But I think one of the issues that you're trying to get at is that it's really a sign of laziness. Like,
right. It's cheating. I mean, it's kind of like the definition of cheating.
Yeah,
in
but
a video
I mean,
game.
That's,
but we're letting you do it.
That's the concept you have about it right now. I mean, people could implement this in one of a million different ways. It doesn't have to be. But then you're stuck in the situation where if it's not cheating, it's just a reward that takes double effort, right? There's the real effort, and then there's the financial effort.
Right, or there's the other thing which I was alluding to, which was like, okay, well, make the player buy something that isn't actually, you know, part of the game. Like, okay, maybe like a multiplayer map, you know? That's not really part of, like, you know, the regular game flow. Like, that's something that you can buy, and it doesn't screw up the game design. It's kind of like, you know, nicely compartmentalized from, you know, the natural flow of the game.
I mean, that's basically what they've been, like buying costume packs.
Yeah, because they realized that if they actually integrated it into the real part of the game, it would be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true.
And this limits what you can do with just the whole thing conceptually. So I think that it's kind of like, just the whole thing is kind of like a gimmick.
Yeah, if we weren't on it at 10 p.m. on a weeknight, I bet we could get some people calling in actually discussing this issue with us. If you do want to call in now, 866-536-1100, we do have some people in the chat room. Some. We have a smorgasbord of people. So many there. It's wild.
Do any of them have the guts?
I don't know. They might call in, but you can always join the discussion as well. Anytime during the week, although really during the show is the only time it's terribly active.
That's the best time.
Yeah, chatterboxers.com. That's chatterboxers.com. All right, so that's my lame segue into the next topic. We've got a million things we want to talk about here. Do you want to run the gamut here, or do you want me to pick one?
Yeah, no, there's something really interesting happened to me a couple days ago. I was playing this demo for Amped 3.
This is Friday night when I was over there, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm just playing this demo, okay, like, you know, snowboarding, whatever. I'm going down this mountain, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, right? And about 20 seconds into whatever's going on, everything freezes, and this message comes up. And the message says, "You ran out of time. Why didn't you do what we asked?" So at this point, like, I'm wondering about 12 different things here. Like, you know, who's we? You know, like, what in God's name did you ask me to do?
And that, by the way, is only because you didn't pay any attention to what it actually told you to do on the screen in the giant paragraph before you started.
Right, but here's the thing, though. That's not my fault. That shouldn't be, you know, I mean, like, why would they put, I don't even know what this level was about in the demo, but why would you even put that in a demo, something where you have to read a whole paragraph before playing? I mean, this is not a good structure for a demo.
All right.
But that's beside the point.
I agree.
I mean, like, why didn't you do what we asked? I mean, this is so inflammatory. This is basically telling the player that, you know, they just, like, they've done something wrong, and not only did they do something wrong, but they've deliberately disobeyed the demands of the game. I mean, it just kind of assumes that the game is placing, like, demands on the player that, you know, they have to just, like, comply with.
See, I was surprised at your strong reaction to this. Because I'm used to negativity in games. I played the Japanese version of Dance Dance Revolution, which is all about boo, you stink, like that.
Yeah. Okay, here's the reason. There's a very basic rule in interactivity design, which is, you know, you don't insult the user. I mean, well-designed games, even well-designed just interactive products in general, they're designed in such a way that, you know, the player can't do anything wrong, really. You know, because if the player does something, it's not really, like, if you make them feel like they've made a mistake, you know, that kind of, like, puts the burden on them, right? Whereas, oftentimes, it's really not their fault that they did something wrong. It was the designer's fault, or the programmer's fault, or whoever implemented and made the game, that they didn't present the whole thing in a way that was, you know, adequately comprehensible.
But, I mean, don't you still need to present a challenge?
Yes, but you can present a challenge in a gentle way. You know, you can do things like, you know, okay, here's an example. You know, I mean, the Super Mario Brothers series of games, right? You know, they first introduce concepts to you in a safe way so that you can, you know, like I don't know, like the first stage, right? I mean, like, yeah, there are some dangers, but usually, like, obstacles they present to you in a very, very gradual way. First you see an obstacle, right? And you can't really die. You can just play around with it. Right?
I'm with you here. You can always use Mario as an example of great game design when you're talking to me.
It's. I mean, you know, there are a lot of other great examples, but, you know, it's just the easiest one to think of. But, I mean, basically, like, you know, you present something to the player where they can't really screw it up, and it's just kind of like a safe and, what's the word? I'm kind of at a loss for words here. But it's basically like, you know, you present challenges when people are prepared to face them, right?
Uh-huh.
That's the game designer's job. The game designer's job is to, make sure that whatever challenges are imposed on the player is sufficiently equipped to deal
with
them.
But is your complaint that you're just mad at yourself for not paying enough attention, or that they actually told you, why are you not listening to me?
No, it's because, it's ridiculous because it's so inflammatory. It's like they make so many assumptions about the player, and you can't make those assumptions like that. It's why didn't you do what we asked?
They're trying to be hardcore, man. They're trying to be extreme. That game is amped.
Right, and this brings me to another aspect of this discussion, which is a lot of times, the style of the game, so to speak, gets in the way of, actually just providing an experience that encourages the player to continue playing. In the Gradius games, when you die, when it's your last life, sometimes there's a synthesized voice and it goes, ha 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 ha. I mean, did you want to listen to that when you've just lost your last life? That's kind of defeating.
I don't know. I mean, the style's a really important part of a game.
It is, but it's not as important as when it actually conflicts with, inflaming the player, enraging the player, making them frustrated. I mean, you don't want to do things that... I mean, it's a balance, right? I mean, style is important, but if it's going to, pretty much piss off most players, I don't think it's that important.
I don't know. Maybe other players will read the directions. I'd like to hear if anybody else had a similar complaint to this, because... I don't know. I'm used to that sort of negative stuff. We do have a caller who wants to talk about micropayments for a second here, and I have a feeling that this is the same caller we had last week telling us about his experience in Dead Rising. Am I right?
Yeah, you are.
All right. Can we crank up the voice on that, Andrew? Is there any way to make it so I can actually hear him?
My bad.
Oh, there it is.
That's fantastic.
Andrew
nice
blames
voice
it on you 100%.
Well, it seems that no one else has the balls to call in. Maybe one of them will get it one of these days.
Right on.
Well, we're on late. But a lot of people do listen during the week on their way to work. Anyway, Matt, tell me your thoughts.
I think that the whole micropayment thing is kind of the gaming community's own fault in many ways.
Why? Because they're willing to pay for it?
Well, there's that, but they've already shown they're willing to pay for it before the situation ever arose to begin with. We had MMOs already popped out where people were paying a monthly fee. Now, I'm not blaming that. I'm blaming people who are willing to come online and purchase in-game items and gold and characters through eBay or other services.
Oh, that's exactly where it came from.
No problem whatsoever. They just they walked right into it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely where I came from. My problem is that now, I can avoid an MMO because I don't care for them in any way, shape, or form. But these other games where... there's the possibility of this being introduced to really any game where the designer or the production house wants to make a buck, right?
Yeah,
now
I mean,
have to deal with this problem too, not just the Evercrack nut job.
Oh, of course. I'm just saying that this was kind of that was the seed, I believe, that really started the whole thing. Is developers are like, hey, these guys are willing not only to pay a monthly fee and pay for the game, but they're going to spend more money to make things easier on themselves throughout the course of the actual game.
Yes.
Do we know whether they're actually making decent money off of this concept yet?
No, I mean, they haven't implemented it yet.
Well, I mean, even as far as Xbox Live games you download or, items in games that you buy on Xbox Live, I mean, they have that. Are they making money off this?
I mean, we're supposed to be the ones who know this, Sarah. You have to call up your designer friends.
How ironic.
Interesting, yeah.
Well, one would have to assume that they're making money or they wouldn't continue doing it.
Whoa.
Well, that's never stopped Microsoft.
Yeah.
True.
Let's not make that assumption. Luckily, I think a lot of this is very low overhead. Basically, you just stuff.
That's a good point.
But there's a lot of stuff we don't know about that goes into approving various additions to games. There are some high quality control standards. Anyway, we're going to come back with a little bit more and a smart attack from Nathan Smart of thegamerag.com. We'll be back.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio!
That's Alon, and my name's Ara, and that's engineer Andrew back there. You can call in. Our number is 1-866-536-1100.
How many fives was that?
All right, let's try this one more time. 866-536-1100.
Thank you very much. Now, I promised that we were going to have a smart attack from Mr. Nathan Smart. And we try to do this like once every other week. Now, last week, he was he part of the show last week or the week before?
It's all a blur.
I have a hard time even remembering.
It's all those Rumpelman shots.
It just happens every once in a while. But we want to invite him back. So here is, once again, the famous, the elite, the wonderful. Are we ready for this, Andrew? Are we good? We've got him all ready? Okay, Nathan Smart.
Nathan Smart from the Game Rag is here to give you another smart attack. Do you guys even care? I mean, I was gone for a couple weeks, and no one you said anything. I didn't check the boards, because let's face it, who does? And I didn't get any emails, and that's annoying, to be honest. You'd think that someone of my stature, my fame, would at least get a quick, hey, where were you? But nothing. This is what kills me about this biz. No credit. I never get the credit I deserve. Never. Every 2 weeks I get on here and give you a stupid rant about video games or a fake review or something, and what do I get from it? I don't get paid, that's for sure. I'm writing this now, and you can actually tell my heart's not in it. I have a poker game to get to in about an hour, and I can tell you that even makes me even care even less about this. Alon, why don't we just hang this up, you and me? And you too, Harry, or whatever your name is. No one cares about us. It's AM, for God's sake. The only people tuning in to listen were actually hoping to get psychic or financial advice. They just tuned in at the wrong time. I'm getting sick of it. I feel like I'm your toy. I feel like you just pull a string on my back and then I spit out some dumb rehashed joke about how video games are ironic. If you go back and listen to all my pieces, I think you'll notice a pattern. The names of the games I talk about are almost interchangeable. They're so generic. I don't take pride in much. I certainly don't take pride in a smart attack. But I digress. Dead Rising's small text is annoying, isn't it? Alon?
Yes, it is.
Dead Rising's what?
Small text.
Small text.
Yeah, did you read about this? About how if you're not playing it on a high-definition TV, you literally can't play the game because you can't tell what your missions are?
Wow.
Yeah, which is a problem. It was a problem with King Kong that the game looked so bad when you weren't on HD. And then a year later, they're still making games where they never tested it without
Fantastic.
HD. And so they couldn't... I mean, that floors me.
What did he call me? Did he call me Harry?
Harry's your name. Harry or whatever. I mean, your name might be whatever.
I like Harry better than whatever.
You're new. I mean, he's been here longer than you, admittedly.
Yeah, but it doesn't even rhyme with Aura.
No.
I mean, he could have called me, like, Ira, Aura. Aura, Era. I mean, like, one of the 12 different permutations that people call me.
Is there a consistent list?
Well, yeah. Those are, like, four of them.
Okay. All right, so I want to talk about an email that I got this week. Actually, I just got this earlier today. Coleman. Believe if his name on my email is correct anyway, sent a message. He was talking about the nostalgia bit that we covered last week, talking about basically in a real small, incomplete nutshell, I was saying that nostalgia is not necessarily great in terms of video games because video games advance so much. Whereas like if you have nostalgia for playing wiffle ball with your high school buddies or your junior high or your elementary school buddies, I guess is more appropriate. Like, that's something that you can be nostalgic for, because if you play wiffle ball these days, it's going to be the same as it was back in the day. Aside
right.
from the fact that, now you've got a beer gut and a wife that you don't want to talk to and whatever. Like, time's gone by, you've changed, but the act hasn't. Whereas with video games, as we move on in life, video games are advancing more and more and more. If we go back and play an old game...
Technologically, anyway.
Yeah. There's not much in comparison to be had by these old games. Now, there are...
Technologically.
Yeah. Well, not just technologically. Like, there's a lot more to games these days. The gameplay is more advanced because you've got so many different buttons and places to go and all that stuff. But
they're definitely more complex.
That's true. And so what Coleman says, he disagrees, or at least he claims he disagrees. And now what you and I were talking about is, like, we'll talk about a topic on the show, and then someone will email, and, like, they won't necessarily take us out of context, but they'll expand our universe of thinking into something so complete that we'd never even imagined and just make assumptions about how we feel about something, which is interesting to see happen over and over again. But he's like, I got to figure out where the best spot to pick up on this. All right, let's say this. You take a simple gaming mechanic and perfect it. Then you tweak the difficulty curve so that everyone can get the hang of the game, but it requires practice to excel at it, and then people will buy it. He says, you know, modern games, it's not that modern games are all bad, but I think a whole, wow, I'm totally ad-libbing here. I think as a whole, there are more unenjoyable games in the last couple generations of gaming than in the first couple. Proof of this can be found in the fact that modern games don't have much of a replay value, while older games had a very high replay value.
Now, I don't see how you could really categorically make a statement like that. I mean, if we're going to talk about some games...
We're generalizing. Right, and that's acceptable. But this is a point where I agree, but there's a reason. And the reason is, and he discusses it in other places in the email, Atari 2600. Right, back in the day, people played those games, and you can still go back and play the games over and over and over because they were very simple, and the gameplay was approachable, and he, as he referred to it, perfected. I certainly disagree with that bit, but it's not, I don't need to argue it. The point is that there's a difference in gaming of yore versus gaming of today, which is the fact that old games, they were simple. Yeah, I didn't realize we were at the end of the show. They were simple for reasons. Like, there were limitations. Now we tell stories. Now we have movies. We have cutscenes. We have all this stuff that we didn't have before. And that sort of infiltrated the game. When we introduce a new game with our technological flashy graphics and whatever, like Geometry Wars, it's real simple gameplay. It can be done. It just hasn't been done. We need to inspire the developers to do that stuff again.
An hour flies by so fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Anyway, I didn't even mention, again, uat.edu. I should mention it. Go to UAT.
There you go.
University of Advanced Technology. Anyway, so much stuff. You've got this whole list of things we didn't even talk about. Next week, this upcoming weekend, I'm going to be at the Penny Arcade Expo. If you're going to be there, you better come see me Saturday morning, 11 to noon, doing the Chatterbox Treasure Box, and you can win stuff. We're going to be back next week doing a show, and then the week after that, we're going to play the recording of the PAX game show that I do next weekend. See you then, everybody.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.